Welcome to Independent America. I'm Hanson Hossein, and here's episode 3 of our podcast. And today we had a fabulous time finally escaping the grasps of Las Vegas as we hit Route 66 through Arizona and had a great chat with John Pritchard, who owns the Hackberry General Store. He's a real enthusiast of Route 66 and secondary highways and mom and pop, and he had some really good things to say to us. So listen, and I think you'll enjoy it. And that creaking sound you hear is of a Route 66 sign, which is blowing in the wind as we sit in front of the general store and chat.
We had a home in Lake Havasu. We were actually living in Tacoma, Washington, Fife, Washington. We had a construction company up there. And we had the home in Havasu for about 5 or 6 years, and we'd go back and forth, you know, to dry out a little bit.
That's true. It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what possessed you to actually purchase a general store?
Well, the store here had actually closed down in 1978, and we were driving the Corvette down the road, and it was the first time that we'd ever seen anyone here. So we decided to pull in and talk to the gentleman that was inside the store. And he'd only been here for about 4 years himself, and he was kind of getting in trouble with the local people. You know, they didn't like him too much, and he was tired of the place. He was a true American hippie, an icon type guy. He was an artist and stuff like that, and he liked his privacy and his solitude. And people were starting to stop by and bug him and stuff, so he was wanting to get out of here. The roof had actually caved in and was leaking real bad. The septic tank had cracked. And he had none of those skills to maintain and fix the store. So we were just kind of talking to him and stuff like that, and never had any intention of buying the place at all. And I said, we could fix that place up. You know, as we were heading back to Havasu and stuff, we got back and said, well, we got enough stuff that we could restore that old store and make it look really cool. And Kerry said, yeah, but we got a few more years to go. So we got back to Washington up there to my company and stuff, and it was cold and it was raining. This was March, and people started chewing on me. Said, how come this ain't done, and I need this done? Well, you can't do it in the rain. And I said, there's got to be a better life than this. I said, God, let's call that guy and see if he really wants to sell that store. So I just took one day, I hired a real estate lady out of Kingman and told her to go out to Hackberry and see if that guy was really interested in selling his business, this little store out here. So she came out here and stuff like that and talked to him and got enough information out of him within a few minutes that he would be willing to sell it. But I guess there's three people in the world that he doesn't like. Official people, and real estate people was not one of those people. So he kind of told her to get out of the store. But she came back and called me and told me that he'd be willing to sell the store if I could meet some obligations that he wanted.
Neighbor?
Neighbor, yes. So he said he would only talk to us. He wouldn't deal with the real estate people. He didn't like real estate people. So we jumped back in our car and drove all the way back down here and met with him. And he was scared that someone was going to buy it. It was a 22-acre homestead, and he was scared someone was going to buy it and just tear it down. So we said, no, that's not our problem. We were going to restore it. And he didn't really like that. He wanted us to keep it in his name type thing, more of the hippie type stuff. And I said, well, we're going to keep it the way it is, but it's not going to be like you are. It's going to be more of the 40s, 50s, and 60s theme. And so over a period of a day and stuff, I showed him what I had. I showed him the Corvette, and I showed him the gas pumps and the nostalgia, the 35 years of collecting Route 66 stuff. That he said, okay, I'll sell it to you guys. So came up with a price and came up with a payment plan. And this was like in March. And he said that we needed to come out here in like June and watch the store for 2 weeks. He would take a load of stuff back to Chicago, and we did that, and kind of so we could learn what we needed to do to fix it up. And to make a long story, over a period of a year we bought the place, and in December of that year we actually moved in. I let my son take over the business up there, and I said, okay, we're going to give this a year shot to see what I can do. And we came down here, and the first year was kind of a hit and miss. We had to put a new roof in, new septic tank, bunch of stuff, just fixing it up. And the more we did, the more we liked it. You know, you started having car people come in and said, you're really cleaning this place up. It's starting to look like something again. So we said, hey, this might not be too bad. So we did a little bit more trying to go. My wife, the whole year, she spent all her time talking to the local families, going to the museum, trying to research everything that she could find on this store. And we found out the store was built in 1934. It was a general store, gas station, restaurant, and pool hall. And this is in 32 is when this section of Route 66 was moved up here out of the little town of Hackberry. Before that, it went through the town, but it was going to be paved for the very first time. So they wanted to get it out of the wash years. It would get washed out and stuff like that. So they moved the road up here in 32, 34. This store was built and with the old house over there. And it became a stopping ground along this section of Route 66 for many, many years, all the way up into the 50s and stuff like that. And in the 50s, the town started dying off. It was a cattle town and used steam trains. It was the third largest cattle stockyard in the state of Arizona. So all the old steam trains would come into here, take the cows out of the cars. The local Indians and stuff would clean out the railroad cars, put new hay in them, load the cows back up and take them on into L.A. and stuff like that. So as far as you can see, there was cattle stockyards out there, cows and stuff like that. There was plenty of water here. But when they went to the electric locomotions, they didn't need that anymore. They could go further and faster, and they wouldn't need to stop as often. So as soon as that died, quit, this little town pretty much closed up at that time.
So it wasn't the interstate, it was the railroad, basically.
The interstate was the icing on the cake type thing. It was in 78, when I-40 opened up, this little store actually closed the store. And we have a picture of it in 78 with the windows plywooded up, the pumps covered up. It was an Esso gas station at that time, and we have a picture of the truck out moving the Esso signs off the poles and stuff like that. So that was pretty much the end of this little store in 78.
So the interstate, I mean, the interstate essentially makes people move faster, but it sounds like it also does some damage to other
people. Well, at that time and point and stuff, the American people were going through a transition, and they wanted to get to where they wanted to go a lot faster. You know, the 50s and 60s, where you travel along in the older cars and stuff, that was over with. You know, people were, if they lived in Chicago and wanted to go to L.A., they wanted to get there as fast as they could without having to go through all these little cow towns and slow down and stuff like that. So that's what the interstates were for. So the interstates actually killed the old two-lane highways and all the little towns that were like every 25 to 30 miles apart at that time.
From what we can gather in our little journey here, there seems to be a resurgence in America's secondary highways, blue highways.
Yes, it is. Basically, and I hate to say it, it's not because of the American people as much as it is the European people. The American people have lived this, and there are a few who like to come back and try to teach their kids about it, but the Europeans, they live and breathe it. If they could hook a hose to you and suck all the knowledge out of you that you had, they would do it.
What's that all about?
It's just basically over there, Route 66 is a big thing, and it's taught to the German people and the French and the English that if you travel from Chicago to L.A. on Route 66, you will see everything there is to see in the United States of America. You'll see the big city lives of Chicago and St. Louis and Kansas. You see the wheat fields, the plains, you know, out through there. You'll see Texas, the cowboys, New Mexico, the Indians, Arizona, the desert, California, the gold, and the rich and famous in California, all on one highway. What more is there to see in the United States? You can see it all on Route 66.
What do you think about interstates yourself, given that you live off a secondary highway?
Yeah.
What's your opinion?
I am, like most Americans, when I got somewhere to go, I like to get there fast. If we're just on a holiday wanting to take time, you can't beat the old secondary highways. If you want to see how American people live and to realize everybody's a lot friendlier, it's a slower pace. You don't have semi-trucks pushing you out of the way to get to where they want to go. The old highways are just, you know, like this old store, just mom-and-pop operation. It's just everyone's glad, hello, how you doing, welcome, glad to see you type thing. And you don't get that on the freeways. It's give me your money, hurry up and get out of here type thing.
It's another age, mom-and-pop, the secondary highways. people might say you're committing economic suicide by having a general store on a secondary highway. It's like a 1-2 punch. What were you thinking?
It's basically, to me, it's more of a hobby, a living American dream. When I was a little boy, I grew up in a little cow town in Mississippi. And this is the kind of store that we hung out at. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, if you hung around a store like this, you're going to see all the coolest cars. You're going to see all the pretty girls. And you'd be happy to go out there and work, wash the windshield and stuff. You learn how to fix the tires. You'd learn how to work on the cars. We lived around a gas station. I mean, that was the focal point. If you think of back to the old days of 50s and 60s, there was a gas station on every corner in the United States of America. If there was a corner intersection there, there was 4 gas stations there. And it was, you know, when a brand new station would open up, they would have some famous cowboy there or some movie star there. They would have ponies. They would give away hot dogs and entertainment and stuff. Not like they do today. It was a different life, a lot simpler. And being a little boy, it was living a dream. And now I'm just going back to that.
Well, it's very nostalgic, and it's great that you can live that dream. But how do you compete against a Kmart or a 7-Eleven?
You can't compete against those guys. You have to, they're in their own little world, and we thankfully, the people who come to this store are looking for a different thing than Walmart or Kmart. We have Route 66 memorabilia. We have people that are owned here are looking for something that they can't find in Kmart and Walmart and all those places. And that's what we try to find for them, something that's... And it's not just stuff to sell. It's letting a walker. I remember when I was 20 years old pumping gas out of one of these things. Or coming in the store and seeing all the autographed pictures of the movie stars of, you know, Martin Milner and George Maharis and Ed Burns, Cookie, let me your comb type, you know. I have all those pictures in there with the old jukebox and stuff. They feel like they just walked back in time. So they feel obligated. If I'm letting him look at all this stuff, they're going to spend $1, $2 in there. They're going to buy a soda pop. They're going to walk around. And on an average, of everybody that walks through the door is going to spend $1. And if you figure 400, 500 people a day, that's $500.
So you're doing pretty well?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to make a living like a big executive out of Walmart and Kmart. But during the summer months, you get to meet people. And then what's the nicest thing is you never meet anyone that's unhappy. They're always glad to be here. They're willing to talk to you. And that's why all these chairs are out here. They'll sit here and they'll talk to you until your ears fall off if you do it. They want to know anything. They want to know why we would live out here in the desert, how people can live out here. It's so hot and miserable. And that, you know, coming from Europe, especially Germany, Germany's number one of all the people in Europe. And just to sit here and look at all of this, there's nowhere in Germany they can see this. And they are just flabbergasted. They see these little houses out here. Well, how does that guy make a living? What is he doing? He's probably not doing anything. He could be retired, or he could be working at Walmart or any place, you know, making a few bucks.
Would you trade this for anything?
Not really. This is, I've had the big businesses. I've had companies that made lots of money. I've been in the military. I've traveled around. So I've never really been rich by any means, but I've never had to, you know, pinch for pennies type thing. And this is just, you know, it's just a laid-back, easy life. You make money during the summer enough to take care of yourself and, you know, do good. But the biggest thing is the enjoyment of having someone come up here and say, hey, this is great.
And how about the locals? Do you have any competition across in Hackaburg? Do they rely upon you as a general store as well? Is it really a general store? Other than take away the tourists, is there a general store component to this?
No, the general store is really, we tried that for a while. A general store would sell meat, produce, groceries, and stuff like that. We tried that, but you can't compete with the guys in town. You can't, you know, with all the super grocery stores and stuff like that. So we changed our plan a little bit and said, okay, let's just sell pop and candy bars and chips and make it into a souvenir shop type thing. And we kept the Hackberry General Store's name to go along with it. The local people, there's basically 15 people in this town. Out of the 15, 12 of them are all one family. The grandfather still lives here. He came here in like 1905, 1909. He's got two sons that are still alive that both live here. the oldest son has got one daughter and granddaughter that lives here. The other son has three of his kids that live here. So out of the, it's just a one big family, and they pretty much have bought the land up over the years since they've been here for so long. The old schoolhouse came up for auction, and they actually bought the schoolhouse. The railroad owned the rest of the town, and the railroad in the 50s and 60s, when they moved away the old stores and stuff, people were getting vandalized and breaking into them, and then turn around suing the railroad. Well, they said, we'll fix that. We'll just come in and tear the town down, and that's pretty much what they did. So the old town, the old railroad train station, the old stores, all that kind of stuff has been torn down over the years, other than the things that were privately owned, like this, the post office, and the schoolhouse.
So it sounds like you've basically been able to find a niche to compete, or at least not be picked upon by the big corporate chain stores.
No, not really. The biggest thing is to try to find something, because there are a lot of stores like this on Route 66. So the main thing is to find something that you will have that no one else will have. Evening.
That's a local.
That's a local.
And he is, what's he coming here for?
He comes in here to check his mail. Basically, UPS drops off, because all the people that live back up in Spring Valley Ranches or 40-acre ranches, no UPS. All their mail is delivered here, and then they come in here and get it.
So you do really, other than serving tourists, you do have a community function.
We do.
You are a local service.
Right, and we're a local. Basically, if you need anything, or, we know everybody, so we're kind of a help all, do all type thing.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What's your last name, John?
Pritchard.
Pritchard. That's
P-R-I-T-C-H-A-R-D.
I just want to get that on tape.
Yeah.
We're speaking with John Pritchard, who is the owner of the Hackberry General Store here in
Hackberry, Arizona.
So, I mean, what's... I know that you have this image of how you grew up and what general stores should be like. If you could, is there anything that you would idealize or make possible here? If the economy was perfect, the market was perfect, what would you change about this to make this like the ideal general store in your mind?
Well, you'd want to go back, you'd want to pump gas again, and you'd want to do it at an economical price. You'd like to go back, and I'd like to have the money to go back and get the old Coke machines, to where the kids get the old, we do sell the little 8-ounce bottles in here and stuff like that. But it's, those times are gone. It's just, it's hard. I look back at when I was a little boy in the grocery stores and the stuff like that. We'd go in and get it. You could buy two slices of bread. You could buy a slice of bologna. The guy would cut it up for you, and you'd make your sandwich. You'd come out here and drink your Coke and eat your sandwich. Those days are gone. It's just the you'll never see that again in the American economy and stuff like that. No one would want to buy two pieces of bread and a slice of bologna, but they will go to the fast food and get the hamburgers and the hot dogs and stuff like that. All I can do is what I've done is, try to find as much of the old history, the old wrecked cars, the old stores, and have the atmosphere that people can actually come in here and just relax and sit down and say, hear the squeaky signs and hear the old stuff and say, this is what it used to be like. Can you imagine sitting there and just visualizing that? And people sit out here for hours at a time and just listening to the signs and, people like that. It's cool.
It sounds like you've given them something very special.
Yep, I think so.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was great.
All right.
Thank you.